Mediated Conversation on SAFM.
Something to get our head around here. Now, the concerns over government's compensation fund. At the start of 2021, the Department of Labor published amendments to the Compensation for Occupational Injuries and Diseases Amendment Bill. The controversial aspect of the amendment was Clause 43, which was aimed at third-party administrators for taking cession of the medical service providers injured on duty claims. It's very big words, so let's try and get this explained with our three guests today, Tim Hughes, Ronna Becker, and let's start with Dr. Angeline Kotsia, Chairperson of the South African Medical Association. Doctor, thanks for joining us. A lot of big words. What does it mean for me, and how do I understand this?
Good morning, and a good morning to all the panelists and all your listeners out there. Yes, it's big words, but what it's actually saying is that doctors from now on need to bill, or healthcare workers need to bill directly, a very dysfunctional quite system. So instead of submitting our accounts through a third party that will normally do all this work for us, we now directly need to do it. We don't have a problem to directly bill if the system is functional. But it's actually very simple why we are opposed to the introduction of this Section 43 of the Amendment Bill. Because, you know what, the compensation fund is and has been for some time structurally and operationally dysfunctional. And it's very evident by the repeated unqualified audits by the general or qualified audits by the general audit general, as well as all the court orders against the compensation fund for non-payments of claims, even though we are working through third parties. And this is an easy way to put all the administrative work back onto the doctors and then expect us to bill, then us to sit with this, because they know that the individual doctor will not take them easily to court. It's just a slip. Unfortunately, the end result of this will be that doctors will not see these patients anymore. And this is patients that are vulnerable. They should not be caught up in legislative nonsense going forward.
Okay.
That's not their problem.
All right. So, and we'll move on to Tim Hughes in a moment. He's the spokesperson for Injured Workers Action Group. The point of the third party, they take a little fee, 10% of the value of the claim. It says here, Tim, that these third parties should be viewed as tax consultants or bookkeepers. That it's people that makes the lives of the doctors who doctor. They're not finance people. They're not in the claimants people. So, Tim Hughes, how is this going to affect injured workers?
Thank you, John. Good morning to you. Good morning to listeners and the panelists. Just to place in context, the Injured Workers Action Group represents workers, very obviously, medical service providers. We also represent employers and civil society. And we were brought together because of the very dysfunctionality of the compensation fund. It just wasn't working, and particularly its new system called CompEasy. Now, what has happened, Angelique has set out what has happened, is that the only functioning element of the fund at the moment is people or entities who assist medical service providers and employers to make their claims. So they do the administration, and in fact, they pre-fund them. In other words, a physiotherapist or a doctor doesn't get paid by the compensation fund for, let's say, up to 2 years. They will go out of business, they won't be able to practice, or consequentially, they won't treat injured workers. This is where the administrators step in, assist, and actually pay the medical service provider in advance. They then, of course, have to claim against the compensation fund. So what the compensation fund is attempting to do is to stop this entire entity and to stop third-party administrators, pre-funders, from actually assisting medical service providers, workers, and employers. John, may I just add, we believe that these third-party administrators actually assist the compensation fund in cleaning up claims as well and rooting out fraud that would otherwise possibly occur.
Why would they want to get rid of them?
Angelique has touched on it. There is structural dysfunctionality. When you have an auditor general for the past 10 years giving a qualified audit, and finally this year saying that if they weren't obliged to, they would not audit this fund, and then Scopa terming the fund rotten to the core, and the minister agreeing that the fund is rotten to the core, they, of course, do not want to be taken to court. They do not want these court orders. They do not want garnishing orders, etc., 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 because that means that demonstrates how dysfunctional the fund actually is. They want to cut out the very element that helps workers, medical service providers and employers from achieving the benefits they are due from the compensation fund.
Before we go to Rona Becker, Dr. Angelique Kutzer, it's almost as if they know it's bad and they're trying to hide away and sweep everything under the carpet. And if we don't have people, then at least nobody will make us realize how bad we are.
Yes, you're absolutely right. So we are actually removing the watchdog. We are removing the conscience. And therefore we can keep on not being accountable or responsible for whatever is happening. And they know that the individual doctor, the physiotherapist, whoever, will not take them to court. Mm. And they know that the patients will not take them to court. So I can carry on with my dysfunctionality and we are all happy.
Rona Becker is the Senior Policy Advisor at the National Employers Association of South Africa. What does this mean and what comments have you got, Rona?
Yes, good morning, John, and good morning to all the listeners and the panelists. Thank you, Tim Hughes and Dr. Angelique, for explaining that to the listeners as well. Now, John, the compensation fund receives from its registered 400,000 employers, plus minus, 9 billion rands in annual contributions in order to ensure that workers who are injured on duty do get access to proper medical care and that they're taken care of and that they can get back to work as soon as possible. And I mean, the effect that this amendment would have not only on medical service providers, it also has implications for employers who have the right to claim injured workers' salaries or wages paid while on sick leave from the fund. And I mean, the inefficiencies of the fund have a direct impact on MSPs, the medical service providers, healthcare organizations, and a direct impact on the operational abilities of employers. And that is why NIOSA had to get together with IWAG and with all the other role players and say, no, we cannot accept this amendment. And what NIOSA was really upset about is the fact that Parliament then decided, yes, we should not amend, we should not remove third-party administrators because it's the only functional thing about the fund at the moment. And then the rules being published by the Minister of Labour and Employment, and I mean that going directly against the decision of Parliament, that was very upsetting, and we can't remain silent on back alley rulemaking like this that contradicts not only the Act, but like we said, if you remove the session functionality, you are going to discourage healthcare providers from treating these workers injured on duty because they know they're not going to be able to see or get back their money. And I mean, then that patient doesn't have access quality to healthcare.
Why don't we put the responsibility, and you as the Employers Association of South Africa, why don't we put the responsibility on the employer where the person got injured? So you get a bookkeeper who can run through the system and make sure that your employee is looked after.
Sorry, I don't understand your question. Do you want the employer to pay?
No, to run through the process as the third parties do. Because the employee was injured under your responsibility.
No, just remember, the same as the MSPs, I think it was your words, John, doctors who need to doctor. Now, employers have a main function. I mean, they already have so many compliance burdens on them, and that is not their main operational goal. They need to run their business. They need to administer their business and take care of their operational ability. If you now put this massive administrative burden on employers, I mean, the third-party administrators whose core function it is to navigate these complex, dysfunctional systems of the compensation fund, if they are having trouble and MSPs are only being paid if they get paid after 2 years, I mean, could you imagine the administrative burden and schlep that'll put on employers? That's just not functional at all.
Tim Hughes, I want to come back to you. The bottom line is here just how dysfunctional this compensation fund system is. What is being done to try and correct it?
John, may I just raise two points and thank you for the question. The first off, employers do a considerable amount of work to ensure that a claim is submitted properly. So they're already deeply, deeply involved in that. I just want to reiterate the point as well that on September the 10th, the commissioner published regulations that went contrary to the entire spirit and ethos of what Parliament had agreed to and gave people to the 30th of September to implement these regulations. So we believe this is really not acting in good faith. Question you raise is what needs to be done. John, we think that the compensation fund, as the Auditor General has said, it needs to go back to basics, go back to square one. It needs to rework its systems, its modalities. The entire fund is quote unquote rotten to the core, and therefore its management is not adequate up to the task. We don't believe the commissioner is up to the task either, and it is an entirely dysfunctional system that actually needs to be rethought so that we can deliver the benefits to workers. And this is one of those where the fund is sitting on 60 billion at the moment. It gets 9 billion a year, as has been stated, and yet it doesn't pay. It simply doesn't pay what the contributions are. It's one of these funds that needs to be rethought completely, and we need a social compact, John. We need to get employers together with workers, with medical service providers, and the Department of Employment and Labour, sit down and go, let's craft a system that works, that delivers the benefits to workers, and actually incentivizes medical service providers to provide that health care.
Dr. Anjali Kotsia, Chairperson of South African Medical Association. Obviously, the biggest issue here, as you said, is that doctors won't accept the patients because they might never get paid or will take forever to get paid. Are they allowed to do that, first of all? And if they don't, where does an injured person go?
So, that's a very interesting question. Thank you for that question. So, as a medical doctor, if it's not a life-threatening situation, I don't need to see you. I can refuse to see you. And if it is a life-threatening situation, I need to do, to assist. But then I will refer you to the state hospital, and this is where the public hospitals, and this is where one of the biggest problems are lying, as well as they are just as dysfunctional. So these poor patients, thinking that they are being protected while they're working in whether it's private or public sector, are then ending up in a system that do not cater for them. So, and the doctors, and it's not all about money, but you have to understand, sometimes there is there's a lot. It is 100,000, 200,000rand involved in trying to get this patient right. So if you see four or five of those patients and you have to write off that money, you can just as well close your surgery or your hospital, and because you will be out of work, you will not be able to pay your bills. So yes, we will have an obligation, if it's life-threatening, to help those poor patients. And it's actually very sad because that patient comes to your surgery, they injured their foot. It's not a life-threatening situation. It's easy, they come to you and they think that they're going to get help. I know that I can see that patient. I can still see that patient for free. But who is going to pay for the plaster of Paris that needs to come up? Who's going to pay for the x-rays? Who's going to pay for the medicine? Those other, the rest of the chain is not going to look kindly upon the patient that I will do. So in the end, the poor patient is the victim of a system that is totally dysfunctional. Also now with this new regulation, it will now need me as a medical practitioner to register a bank account with the fund. So, and that normally takes about a minimum of 2 months for a new bank account to be approved by the fund. And, we have only been given 2 weeks to comply. So how dysfunctional do you want to get? Not that you're dysfunctional. We're saying that you're dysfunctional. It's been agreed that you're dysfunctional. And then you, again, bring a dysfunctional new system in where you ask us to register a bank account within 2 weeks. Let's be honest. You know what? The amount of stupidity that we are seeing out there is just mind-boggling. We are struggling from one mishap to a next one, and we do not learn from our mistakes. And then you expect the rest of the public and the healthcare workers to be happy with your decisions. No, come on. We're not living in a banana republic, please.
We're going to take a quick break. That's Dr. Anjali Kutsia, chairperson of South Africa's Medical Association. I'm going to come to you in a moment, Rona Becker, senior policy advisor at the National Employers Association of South Africa. I do want to talk about the money. Obviously, money is paid into this fund, and is it even being used correctly? That's coming up in a moment.
Mediated conversation on SAFM.
We're talking about what sounds like the atrocious Occupational and Disease Amendment Bill that's come into place over the last few days. Let's go to Rona Becker. Rona, we've heard about the negatives. I just want to talk about the actual money. Obviously, people are putting money into this fund to be distributed. Are there billions of rands being sat on by this fund, earning lovely interest and not being used correctly?
Absolutely, John. And it's truly revolting. If you read the reports of SCOPA, which is basically the financial watchdog, I mean, it stated that this state-managed fund, the compensation fund, is not only solvent, which is unusual when it comes to state-managed funds, but it's bloated with about 6 billion rand in assets and 26 billion rand in reserves, due to the 9 billion rands in annual contributions from the employers, as I stated previously. And, I mean, now MSPs have to, by virtue of the rules and the possible removal of the session functionality, they have to be out of pocket, like the doctor mentioned, if they now treat that injured worker for free. The employer constantly contributes to the compensation fund. But, I mean, the claims aren't being paid. The fund is rotting. There's maladministration. There has been so many tender fraud as well, based on systems that the fund keeps on trying to implement that don't work. If you go read the report by SCOPA and you know, the questions posed to them during a Zoom investigation, it's shocking. It was truly astonishing to see the amount of money that goes into this fund. And due to its dysfunctionality, it's not being applied correctly, claims aren't being paid out. And like the doctor mentioned, everybody else is affected negatively. The medical service providers, the third-party administrators and financial institutions, if the sessions functionality is removed, will lose their market share when it comes to that. The employer keeps on paying to ensure that his workers are treated when they get injured on duty, but no one gets any benefit. No one gets any benefits. And that's like you said, it's not necessarily about the money, but it's something we have to talk about.
All right, we've got 5 minutes to go. Tim Hughes, I like solutions. So, spokesperson for the Injured Workers Action Group. How do we fix this? What is the solution?
Thank you, John. And again, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to you and the listeners about this critical issue for our country, particularly critical during COVID, when frontline workers are exposed in this way and everyone is struggling. So we need a compensation fund that works. First thing that has to be done, the regulations have to be scrapped. They have to be withdrawn. We don't think they're legal. They may not be constitutional. There's no justification. They are irrational, and they will do immeasurable harm to the entire sector. So message number one to the commissioner and the minister, withdraw those regulations immediately. Number two, call for a social compact of all stakeholders, people like Angelique, people like Rona, workers' groups, medical service providers, third-party service providers, including the banks, good system providers, and go, let's now design a fund and systems that actually achieve the constitutional legal objectives that they're designed to do. That is to say, to help injured workers. NEDLAC needs to get involved in this, and I believe that NEDLAC has been dilatory as far as this is concerned. We need entities like NEDLAC to sit down and thoroughly interrogate this issue, and let us sit down together and come up with a collective solution in the interests of our country, and in particular workers and medical service providers.
Angela Kutsia, I'm going to give you the last word. So let's go back to Rona Becker, National Employers Association of South Africa policy advisor. Rona, there are a number of issues here. First of all, there's the new policy. There's the third party. I want to talk about that 10% that they take. Is that too much? Should that just be something that should be focused on, or is that what they deserve?
No, I don't believe that is necessarily the problem here. I think what really upset all of the stakeholders in this value chain and in this industry is the fact that initially when the amendment bill came out and they had this ridiculous prohibition of session they wanted to put in, there was no rationale. There were mentions here and there that they believe that there is corruption with regards to the third-party administrators, whether it was now charging too much to handle the claim or whatever. We're not sure what that rationale was. But, I mean, that was just a ridiculous statement from the compensation fund's side. If you look at the compensation fund itself, it surely can't point fingers and be like, a third-party administrator is asking too much to go through this trouble, this troublesome process of trying to succeed with a claim on behalf of a medical service provider. No, I don't think that's the issue at all. I think the dysfunctionality of the fund itself is a massive issue, and the fact that they are now through back alley rulemaking without getting the input of people like IWAG, Tim and the healthcare providers. They just took these rules and contradicted what Parliament decided. That's our issue.
All right, Rona Becker is the policy advisor at the National Employers Association of South Africa. Last word to you, Dr. Angela Kutsia, chairperson of the South African Medical Association.
Thank you. I'll be short and sweet. Withdraw the total irresponsible regulation. Withdraw it. Stop it. Let's get again to the stakeholders meeting. Set up a small working committee under the ministerial guidance, and let us sort this part out. The dysfunctionality in that's their problem. They have to sort it. We will sort the problem where we know our members are facing problems, as well as the patients. We will be the advocacy group and the voice of the patient and the voice of the healthcare providers. But we cannot accept this current situation. I'm sorry, and we will keep on pushing, and we will keep on being vocal out there. This is nonsense. It makes no sense. Thanks.
Dr. Angela Kutsia, chairperson of the South African Medical Association. Also, thank you to Tim Hughes, spokesperson for the Injured Workers Action Group. And Rona Becker is the senior policy advisor at the National Employers Association of South Africa. Yeah, it all starts with dysfunction of a system that just doesn't work. When there's dysfunction, then third parties come in, and then suddenly somebody feels aggrieved about third parties. And it's just snowballed after that. Thank you very much for listening. I'll be back again tomorrow, Heritage Day. It'll be a slightly light-hearted show. It's a public holiday. Don't forget, if you do want your wine and beer, today is the last day you can buy until Monday. So just warning you about that.